It's time for everybody to wake up, to rise up, to speak up, and for the body of Christ to unite. Can I hear an amen to that? Yeah. Hallelujah. We know, 1 Peter 2:9, we know who we are. We are His chosen generation. We are. Pastor Brandon already said it. We're on the earth for such a time as this. We're not here by accident. We're not here by mistake. We're His chosen generation. We are His kingly priest. Tell your neighbor, you're a king and a priest. You are a king and a priest. Every one of you are. Kings and priests unto your God. Hallelujah. We're a holy nation. Now, the church doesn't look at itself like they're a nation, but God does. And we are one nation. Our citizenship first is to God and His kingdom. Can I hear an amen? That's why no matter where we go, it could be Central America, Mexico, the Caribbean, Russia, it can be India, Africa, anywhere we go, when we get with the born-again, blood-bought, redeemed people of God, we are one. We are one nation. We're all one. And that supersedes everything else. Amen? Amen. And then we are God's special possession. He bought and paid for us with the highest price in the universe, higher than all of the silver and gold you could accumulate, and that's the precious blood of His Son, Jesus, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. You are so valuable to God that you have no idea. Hallelujah. Ah, and it should just make you take a great big old deep breath. Ah, and every day, live in the knowledge of that. I am blood bought, redeemed. I am a son of God, a daughter of God, and I'm a king and a priest unto my God. Amen? So we're on the earth now for such a time as this. I'm going to get really direct today, okay? Really, really direct. Our nation is under tremendous demonic attack, more than I've ever seen in my lifetime. Jeffrey and I were talking before the service, more than he and I've ever seen in our lifetimes. I got born again in 1970, right in the middle of Jesus People Revolution, and I just turned in the spiritual realm 50 years old. I've been born again 50 years. That time was a time of upheaval, but it doesn't compare to what's happening now. Now, there's an enemy attack against the very roots and the foundations of our nation. I believe God has raised up America to take the gospel to the nations of the earth. That's why we're here. We have a divine destiny. Amen. And the attack is against anything Judeo-Christian. And it's time to stand up and speak up for kingdom values of God. Don't apologize about it. This twisty serpent, twist the truth devil, is trying to twist everything and make evil good and the good things of God evil. And just, you can be full of love and grin and say, no, 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 no. Hallelujah. Not on our watch. Amen. But we have a job to do. We have a responsibility. You cannot keep quiet. You cannot keep quiet. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. One place to start, and this is important. I hear people say this, Christian people, I meet them everywhere, and I hear them say a lot, God is in control, when they're talking about the current crisis. I don't like that answer. Of course God is God. But God has chosen to work through His church on the earth. We are His representatives on the earth. Hallelujah. And we have a blessed, it's a privilege, and it's a responsibility in America to vote. Everybody say vote. God's not involved in that. Yes, He is. He is involved. I heard a brother say this past week, if Christians from communist China, where they have no vote, no say, and no nothing, and where they're driven underground and the churches are bulldozed and Bibles are illegal, I had the privilege of smuggling them in 1990 into communist China. We got 1,500 Bibles in. Yay, Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you feel bad breaking the communist atheist law? No. I felt good moving in the laws of God and the kingdom of God. I felt good getting the gospel out to people that were so starved for it. First, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, no nation on earth. But we've been blessed to live in this nation because we can help decide the destiny of the nation. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who to vote for. I'm not talking about personalities. I've had people say to me, do you believe Donald Trump's the Savior? I said, you've got to be kidding me. What about Joe Biden? Well, I won't say anything. I prayed for both of them. But I'm not looking to either one of them. I am looking for kingdom values. And I'll tell you, there's two right here that helps you settle your vote, which way you're going to vote. One is this gender confusion. It's ungodly. It's of the devil. And you should not cast any vote toward anyone that promotes that. In Jesus. What are you talking about, Pastor Steve? I'm talking about the destruction of Judeo-Christian family. And Judeo-Christian gender, well, it's biological gender. It's scientific gender. In the beginning, God created them. Male and female created he them. That's it. Amen. Kingdom of God. Yes, sir. And this twisting serpent, he's been working for a while. Now he thinks he has the perfect storm. Stand up, rise up, speak up, unite. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. This next thing, I don't know how they could take any abortion any further. Now you can abort your baby before it takes its first breath. I read and I fact checked this. I read this. I got it verified that Planned Parenthood, they were brought before a committee and they were asked, have you ever harvested baby parts on babies that were born alive with the heart beating? And they said, yes, we have. That's murder. That's right. Whoever said that? That's murder. That's murder. And there's a million of them being killed in America every year. And I tell you, that's an abomination in the nostrils of God. And I tell you, if you vote for that, you're abetting it, promoting it, and standing behind it. And God's going to ask you why someday. Why? I say, Pastor Brandon's been trumpeting this. It's a time of repentance. Repentance is a good thing. Repentance means I was going like a knucklehead the wrong way. It was hurting me. I was digging my own grave as I went the wrong way. And God in his mercy woke me up. And when I heard it, I humbled and said yes. And I repented and went God's way. And mercy is bountiful with him. You can come confidently and receive mercy. We have redemption through his blood. It says, even the forgiveness of our sins. Do we all need mercy and grace? Yes, every one of us. Does God love us all, every one of us? One thing I was preaching the nations before I got stalled here doing this thing. I said, you're going to see the most sinful, evil, famously wicked people of your city saved. And I said, start praying for them. Start praying for them. Start praying for them. And that goes here, too. We need some more Saul of Tarsus's yes. Turned around. Right. Hallelujah. We need that. Yes. So start praying. I haven't even gotten to my message yet. But do you hear me?
Yes.
40% of Christians in America right now are not registered to vote. That's shameful. If we just had 5 million more register and unite and vote kingdom values, thank you, Jesus. And then there really some work can start getting done on this situation. But back to China. I heard a brother say, if communists, Chinese, they're not communists. They love God. Communists are atheists. Marxists are atheists. That's what is trying to take over our nation. If you don't know that, wake up. And if they could come now, I wish they'd come, they'd cry. They'd plead with us. Do something now while you have a chance. Do something now while you have a chance. They would. I guarantee you they would. Hallelujah. I see those brothers. I want to salute those brothers. You talk about persecution. And they shall have giant crowns and rewards when they get to heaven. Because they have stood up. They do speak up. And they've laid their lives down even unto death. But come on now, army of God. Can you say yes and amen?
Yes.
Yes and amen. Let's look at some Bible stuff, some Bible examples of how in impossible situations, impossible in the natural. Guess who came through? The one we've been singing about. But he didn't say, I've got everything under control, do nothing. He did not say that. And I think right off the bat of Esther in the book of Esther. Esther, did you know Esther was an orphan? Say, God can't use me, you know, I've had such a bad upbringing. Please, please, please. You've switched kingdoms. You've switched families. You've switched citizenship. And you're the most valuable thing that God even, he sees no one else as valuable as you. He traded his son for you. Hallelujah. So here's Esther. You know the story. I'm going to save us time. And God raised her up, Pastor Brandon, like you said, for such a time as this. He's raised us up for such a time as this. Hallelujah. So here's former nobody, Esther the orphan, who has a godly, praying, he won't keep his mouth shut, uncle, Mordecai. Come on, Mordecai. All you Mordecais, stand up, amen. Hallelujah. And the king gets deceived by a twisting demon, like we've got at work. And he made a decree out of his deception that all the Jewish nation would be killed under his kingdom. And that was a lot of them. And he did not know his newly married bride was a Jewess. But he gave the decree. He gave the decree. And here comes Uncle. Uncle spends time with God. Uncle hears from God. Uncle says in Esther 4:14, really fast, Esther 4:14. Uncle says, for if you remain, Esther, completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. You're going to lose your generation. But he said, but who knows whether you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. But the thing that nailed me that one of the pastors said about a month ago was the first part. If you remain completely silent at such a time as this, I will not be quiet. Now, we're full of love. We love everybody.
Yes.
We do. Every people group, every nation. I've proven that with my life, and I do love them. God's put that into my heart. God loves everyone. God's going to have, when we get to heaven, someone from every race, tribe, tongue, people, nation. Yes, he is. And there's his love. But we cannot remain silent. Don't be mean. Don't be a knucklehead. If the Spirit of God checks you before you say something, post something, speak up to somebody. My wife and I here recently, I said, I'm not being quiet anymore. I'm going to be me in Christ with a smile on my face. But when they say something off the wall, I am bringing truth. I am bringing the truth. About what, Pastor Steve? About this current situation. Amen? There was an old song. He wrote it right before he got saved in the Jesus People movement. Barry McGuire. The song was his most famous song, The Eve of Destruction. Don't you see we're on the eve of destruction? I'm telling you, the natural, we are right now. You don't think so? You're not awake. So this is the time we live in. But listen, our God is the God who is more than enough.
Yeah.
Now, you know the end of the story on Esther. With her life on the line, you could not come into that king's court without an invitation, even if you were his new bride. Your head, that's it. You had to be summoned. And she laid her life on the line, and she went in, and guess what? She spoke. She rose up, she spoke up. And God backed her. Guys, we have God backing us. He's the way maker. We've been singing that. He is the way maker. When it looks like there is no way, he's the way maker. All right, let's switch scenes. We've got a 17-year-old. He's the youngest of 8 sons. And who's been the youngest in the family before of kids? A lot of times you get the brunt, don't you? You're the youngest. David got the brunt. His brothers were smarter, older, stronger, the whole thing. But guess who is the most spiritual out of all of them?
That's right.
David. So he's got the worst job. He's watching sheep on the hillside, but he loves it because he gets time in his Father's presence. And they estimate he was a late teen when this whole Goliath situation happened. Come on, you teenagers. God can use teenagers. Yes, he can. And he knows his God. And he knows he's in covenant with God. If you don't know what being in covenant with God is, take our Confirming the Word. We're going to teach it in October, a whole course on the blood, and one thing we'll cover is the blood covenant. That means you and God are in a divine partnership, and everything he has is yours, and he will back you up in all of your endeavors. And young shepherd boy, worshiper, presence of God boy, David knew that. You know the situation. The enemy army, the Philistines, had who they called their great champion. He's 9'9". I played a little college basketball. I didn't like to go underneath and drive in with 7'1". But 9'9" is a monstrous man. He's demonic all the way through. Raised up to be a warrior from his youth. He's demonic. And here we've got a big ditch between the Philistine army and the Israelite army. And the Bible says all the Israelite soldiers were dreadfully afraid every day. Sounds like what we've been living in America right now. I don't like it. I don't like fear. I don't like fear. And we have no need to fear. Just as an act of faith, release your faith in the blood of Jesus. Tell your neighbor you are covered with the blood of a lamb. You are covered. You are covered with the Passover blood of a lamb. You are covered with the blood of Jesus. You are covered. So here's a young man, 17. He's spiritually wise beyond his years, not because the rest of them couldn't be. The rest of them didn't take time. Here he comes. His dad sent him to take some cheese and snacks to his older brothers. He gets there and sizes up the situation, and he says, "What's going on here?" He can't believe it, that the enemy covenant, the enemy has got the covenant soldiers of God in dreadful fear every day. He says, first he says, "Is there not a cause?" You know why people are getting involved in these Marxist organizations like Antifa and the Black Lives Matter founders? All three of them are Marxists. You know why they're getting involved? They have not found their cause. They want a cause. You were born to live for a cause, every human. We have found our cause. Hallelujah. And young David knew his cause. And he says, "Is there not a cause?" And they look at him like, where is he coming from? His brother said, "Go home and watch the sheep. Get out of here, you little runt." That's my paraphrase. But something he said, it was what he carried, caught King Saul's ear. "Who is that young man? Whose son is he? Bring him in here." And he immediately starts suiting him up with his big armor. And David said, "That's not my stuff. That's not my equipment." And he throws it off himself. Now here we go, the showdown. When the showdown comes, and it looks impossible in the natural realm, David ran with haste at his enemy. That's exactly what you do, covenant person of God. You run. The Hebrew word says to rush upon as a running lion. Wow. Get on YouTube and watch some of these lions run at hunters. It's awesome. And here's this 17-year-old. And he says, who is this uncircumcised? Now listen to what he said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the Most High God and the army of God? Whoa, he's 17. But his God's not 17.
That's right.
His God is the Almighty King of Glory, the Mighty God, the Mighty Glorious One. Hallelujah. And the devil tries to trash talk him at first. He said, "I'll tear your head off and feed it to the beasts of the air." And David, is that right? And it didn't faze him at all. He rushed him. He said, "I'll have your head quickly." And boom. You study those slingshot guys. They could like thread a needle with those things. And it nailed that devil right here. Boom. 9'9" kicked up a cloud of dust. 9'9". And he cut his head off, David did, with his own sword, and brought back the victory. Come on. This, I call it a twisty giant serpent principality that's trying to destroy America. Good, evil, evil, good. Divide the races. That is demonic. Divide the races. I say, no, no, no. That's not kingdom of God. God's heart is to unite the races. Yeah. And there's David. Another way that God made where there was no way. It looks like in America, there is no way. I say victory, victory, victory. In Jesus' name. Victory, victory, victory. Victory. But we got to unite. We've got to wake up, speak up, stand up, and unite. Amen? We have to. Time has come today. There's no time of wasting. We cannot waste time. Can I hear it? Amen?
Amen.
Now is our time. Time has come today. We have to be in action today. And pray like you haven't prayed in a while.
Amen.
Pray, pray, pray. And God, we've been praying, God, give us open doors, give us platforms. I don't necessarily mean physical platforms. Give us places where we can have more of a voice. Amen. Now is the time. Now the last one. This one maybe blesses me the most of these. These all bless me. This is in 2 Kings 6. It's the prophet Elisha. Now, Elisha knew his God. Elisha saw things from God's standard, standpoint, and viewpoint. You can too, if you'll take more time in the Word, if you'll on purpose get in the presence of God. I am coming into the presence of God. I am welcomed by the blood of the Lamb. I can come right before His throne. I like to say this. Sometimes I feel like I'm forehead to forehead with God.
Amen.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And you'll get His perspective. You'll feel His heart. And sometimes He'll give you visions. You'll see what He sees. Yay, Jesus. So here's Elijah, the prophet, the man of God, the covenant man. And he's helping. Oh, wait, he's involved in politics. He's helping the king. Do you think any man or woman involved in politics needs help from the Spirit-filled people of God? They need help. Hallelujah. One thing I like about the current president, he's called so many prayer meetings and had worship meetings in the White House. I have not seen that in my 67 years. Is he your Savior? You got to be kidding me. But he's shown himself to be friendly to the kingdom of God. That says something to me.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, I know Well, Pastor. I've said all the Well, Pastors. It's not about a personality. It's not. It's about kingdoms. It's about good versus evil, light versus darkness, truth versus twisted, hateful lies. Anything in life, God tells us, look at the fruit. Look at the fruit of these current protests. They're burning down capital cities. Look at the fruit. They're slapping, knocking down old women. Look at the fruit. Come on. So here is man of God, Elijah the prophet. He spends time in the presence. He sees what God wants him to see. And he goes, tells the king, don't take your men down by such and such, because the king of Syria is going to ambush you guys down there. Don't do it. And the king of Israel would listen to the man of God. And time after time after time, he helped that man, that political man. And finally, the king of Syria says, what is going on? And they said, well, they have a man of God over there. His name's Elijah. Now, they exaggerated. They said, he can even tell the king of Israel what you're doing in your bedroom, king of Syria. Now, that wasn't right. But I would let the enemy magnify the power of our God. And he said, we got to get that one man. We got to get that one man. Now, listen to me. You are the one man. In today's current crisis, you are the one man.
Yes.
You and me.
Yes.
We are the one. We are the man. We are the men and women in Christ. That's who this enemy wants to get. I am telling you this as sure as I'm standing here on this ground. Pastor Brandon mentioned it. We've been seeing letters from pastors in California where that now they're forbidden to meet, period. We'll turn off your water and your electricity and we'll fine you $1,000 every day. And you can't have Bible studies in your home. Whoa, we're getting close to communist China. No, we're not. Things have been accelerating so fast. This has been the craziest year I have lived in all 67 years. Is that right, Brother Jeffrey? The craziest year. So come on now. Wake up. Stand up. Speak up. And unite. Yay, God. So here we go. They find out, the enemy, what town Elisha the prophet and he's mentoring a guy. I thought it was Gehazi because that was one of his mentors, but one of the guys he mentored. But it doesn't say what this guy's name is. I don't know if it was him or not, but it's someone else he's training. And so they wake up one morning, and the entire city is surrounded by Syrian army chariot riders coming after one covenant man of God. How's that looking to natural? Try that one on. Looks impossible. Looks like this. We're talking about back then, today's modern jihadist Islamic cut your head off in a second type cultures. That's who he's surrounded by. Now you can read it. Where is it, Pastor Ben? 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6. You can read it. Go home and read it. Get this. Out of the blue last night, our missionary Isaac, that I travel a lot with in the last couple years, he's a Nigerian, he sends me a WhatsApp out of the blue. And he says, Pastor Steve, I hadn't mentioned this. He said, for the last month, God's had me stuck in 2 Kings 6 with Elisha, the prophet, being surrounded by the enemy army. And I've been preaching it wherever I go. I said, "Come on." I said, guess what I'm preaching tomorrow morning? You think this is a word for now? It's a word for now. It's a word for this time. Time has come today. It's our time. We're not losing in Jesus' name. But don't tell me God's got everything under control and then you do nothing. I'm going to rebuke you. I will love you. I have a smile on my face, but I'm going to say, you're wrong. Get with it. Come on now. Let's unite. Let's do it. Come on. So they go outside, Elisha and whoever this sidekick trainee is. The sidekick trainee about has a nervous breakdown. He sees 360 long-sworded enemy soldiers with chariots, that would be the tank of the day, against two men. He says, I'm King James in you now. Alas, my master, what shall we do? That revelation came to me in prayer Tuesday morning in pastor's prayer. And I said, that's a lot of the church right now. What should we do? They're in that category. God wants to move us into the Elisha category. Yes. You look at Elisha in that story, he's like cool as a cucumber. He's like, he says, there's more with us than there are with them. Now, to the natural-minded Christian, you go, I knew he was far out, but now he's really lost his mind. And Elisha prays. This is a quick answer. I want us to act on this. I am about done, and we're going to act on this. This was a quick answer. He prayed and he said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. And boom, that was an instant answer and an instant manifestation of another vision. Elisha already had his. And the servant looks up. And there is a massive army of chariots of fiery angels. Hallelujah. Whoa. Whoa. Guess what the outcome was? That's really a merciful outcome. I'm going to let you read it, the rest of it. Go home and read 2 Kings 6. It's marvelous. That happened in history. Oh, man, that's something else. Ooh. Well, what happened, Pastor Steve? I'll save you all the details. That thousands and thousands of enemy army chariots and everything went blind. Boom. Come on, what God are you dealing with? That's our God. Boom. Went blind. Now, Don't you know Elisha was led by the Spirit? Of course he was. He said, follow me, guys. I'll take you to who you want. Who they ultimately wanted was the king of Israel. He took them to the king of Israel. But guess what? They're ready. They're ready to slaughter these soldiers of Syria. And then the Lord opens the eyes of all this army. And now they're surrounded by the army and the king of Israel. Now listen to Elisha. This was so astounding, such a miracle, that the king of Israel yielded to him. He said, here I am, you're after me. Here the king is, you're after him. But we're going to have mercy on you. Go back home to the one who sent you. Do you think that had a profound impact upon them for the rest of their lives? And then Bible history tells us they didn't try to attack Israel for I don't know how many generations. That left an impact on them. God wants to leave an impact like that on our nation right now in the situation that we're in. Yes, in the situation that we're in right now, God wants to leave that kind of an impact upon us. Now, I don't want to be in the servant's situation. I want to see from the throne of God. We all can. Yes, you can. I don't want to be like David's older brothers. They were dreadfully in fear every day, and they did not stand up, speak up, rise up. They didn't do anything. I don't want to be like that. But I do want to be like Esther. I do want to speak up. I do. I want to go and lead us, Lord. He may lead us into situations in the natural look like you are going to get slaughtered in there. Go as he bids you to go, go. As you have the platform, go. As you have the opportunity, go. It doesn't take a rocket science to know when to go. Go, for your covenant God is with you. The Lord your God is with you. I'm telling you, God loves this country. Everyone, he loves this country. Prestige, you think we're better than any other nation? No. Every nation I go to, I love. I feel the love of God. I know he loves them all the same. I know that. But I do believe this nation was birthed with a special purpose. I do believe that. I do believe that. And the fruit of our nation has proven that. And I don't believe it's time to surrender to Marxism, which is the granddaddy of communism. I do not believe that. How many of you are with me? Okay, stand up, everybody. Stand up. Amen, Jesus. What do you want to do, Pastor Steve? Well, let's just call on God. God, open our eyes. Call on him with me. Open our eyes, God. Open my eyes, God. Open, open, open my eyes. Hallelujah. Open my eyes, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that we can come right into your presence every day. As soon as we wake up in the morning, we go right into your presence. Amen. Before our feet get out of bed, we go right into your presence. We get in the car in your presence. We go about our daily task in your presence. We meet people on the streets. We're in your presence. And Lord, we want to see as you see, do as you do, say what you say. And we purpose, God, counting on your grace, counting on you as the one who lives through us, to speak through us, touch through us, influence everyone we come in contact with. Through us. Can I hear an amen on that? Can I hear an amen? I want to pray for you too, that you start having precious times in the presence of the Lord. Precious times, refreshing times. All of you, refreshing times in the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. That is your first priority. That is your first ministry. Your first ministry is not to anyone else but to the Lord. That's your first ministry. That is primary. Without that, you're going to be in the wrong category. Without that, you're going to be, alas, my master, what shall we do? I don't want to be in that category. I'm not going to be in that category. You with us, brother? I know you are. Hallelujah. He's nodding his head. Glory. We are the one man that the enemy's after. We are the one man. Well, woman, you know what I'm saying? The body of Christ, you know what I'm saying? But it was Elijah. They were after one man. We're the one man. Now listen, stand up for Judeo-Christian. If you don't know what that is, come talk to me. Come talk to me. I'll just rip off a list for you. There's been a long-standing Effort, constant effort by schools, universities, media, Hollywood, yuck, to boil us slowly and lie to us, where we start accepting lies that are destructive to people. One church leader said, as soon as a family in any nation goes, that nation goes. It goes down the drain. I am telling you, there is a satanic, demonic, strategic effort to tear down and demolish the family as God created it to be. You that have dads, you love your dad, kiss your dad. If my dad was here, I'd go, oh, Dad, thank you for making me go to church, Dad. Thank you. Thank you, Dad. I tried about three times. Dad, you know, we went to church three times a week. Dad, we go three times a week. Can I have Wednesday night off and practice and shoot baskets? I've got a big game coming up Friday. No, you can't, son. Jesus and his kingdom first. And I went to church like this. Did that damage me? Did that damage me? I would have been damaged if my dad would have let me run like I wanted to run. Because I already was running with the wrong crowd. The only thing that saved me was my daddy making me go to church. Come on, Dad. As soon as I see him in heaven, I'm going to kiss him right on the lips. Hallelujah. Amen. So what are we saying, guys? We can't be quiet. We cannot be quiet. We cannot be silent. First, we lift up our voices to God, but then we look for opportunities. And we're not mean. You don't have to be mean. Truth is a two-edged sword. It doesn't need your meanness behind it. Boy, I had a lady speak so kind to me one day. And she was a spirit-filled saint of God. And she just put a two-edged sword right in my heart. It wasn't mean what she said. And I knew I was wrong and she was right. And I could not shake it. And it helped me make a major repentance and turn that deepened my life in the Lord. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. You know who it was, Chandler, Natalie Gomer. She's in heaven now. I'll kiss her too. Amen. Bless you guys. What do we want to do, Pastor Brandon? Let's just go and drink some cold drinks. Because it's dangerous to let the lizard man have the microphone. Come on. God bless you guys. One nation. We are one nation. One nation. Spiritual nation of God. One family. Everyone paid and bought for the same price. Man, you're valuable to God. Man. And Lord, help us see even every unsaved person. God, you paid your blood for this person. And let's see the most notorious, famous sinners of our areas, of our families,
yes,
saved. How about it?
Yes.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.